Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Iris Bat Bernice, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Abraham, and Dorit Bat Sarah, and Shifra Bat Sarah, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Seb Ben Chava, Haramir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. The program this week is about the theory of evolution. Charles Darwin's theory of evolution, that human beings and all life evolves, and what the Torah Judaism view is on the theory of evolution. Now, first of all, I want to make something clear. I'm not a spokesman for Torah Judaism. I don't have the knowledge or the wisdom to be a spokesman for Torah Judaism. We have great rabbinic sages who are the spokesmen and who are the people that we turn to understand what Torah Judaism says about various issues. And sometimes there's a machloket, sometimes there's a disagreement among the sages on certain issues. Aside from the fact that I'm not a Torah scholar or a Torah sage, there's also a saying in Hebrew, Ani lo navi ve ani lo ben navi. I'm not a prophet and I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm certainly not a prophet. I certainly don't get messages from Hashem, from God, telling me what the right way is. So, as a Jew, as a believing Jew, I have to look, and we all have to look, to Chazal, the great rabbis who gave us who gave us the Talmud and who gave us all of the great Jewish sources. And I have to look at all of our great Torah scholars, even of today. I can't make decisions on my own because I'm not knowledgeable enough to do so. So I'm going to present the various views here, and I'm going to try to present them as well as I can, and hopefully we'll enlighten people to a certain degree. I want to also say something, though, about science. I'm not a scientist. And people who don't know a lot about science and who speak about science, this is like somebody explaining the intricacies of brain surgery. Someone who's not a brain surgeon explaining the intricacies of brain surgery, it's ridiculous. They don't know what it involves. And science in general, if you're not a scientist, and when I say a scientist, I don't mean an affirmative action scientist or someone who took science courses in college. I'm talking about someone who is really at the top echelon of scientific research. If you're not, then your ability to understand and comprehend these issues is going to be very limited, and that's true for me, and that's true for almost all of us. Only scientists that are really at the top echelon could even begin to understand some of the scientific concepts. So I'm not a spokesman for Torah Judaism, and I'm certainly not a spokesman for science. But we do look to what has been written and what has been said by scientists, and we do look to them to try to understand and to try to better comprehend scientific concepts. The theory of evolution is unproven, despite the fact that if you go to college or university today, they will tell you it's absolutely certain, just like global warming is certain and all the other things that they've propagandized about, they say it's certain. It is unproven. It is a theory. It's just a theory. And it could be wrong. Could be right. Could be wrong. Now, Charles Darwin himself, the person who originally started this theory and who wrote the book The Origin of Species, the book was written in 1859, Charles Darwin himself said that we have one big problem with this theory. Let me explain to you the problem that Charles Darwin explained and that is a problem that those who support the concept of evolution, they can't overcome this problem. It's a very serious problem for them. They say, for instance, that human beings evolved from other creatures. And by the way, Charles Darwin himself never said that human beings came from monkeys. One of his followers, who was anti-religious, later did say that. But Charles Darwin himself never actually said that. But he did say we evolved from lower from from other animals, from other species, and that species do advance, and that human beings originally came from other species. Okay. But he himself concedes in his book, The Origin of Species, which is the blockbuster book that he wrote that changed the view of so many people on the way the world functions. Charles Darwin himself wrote that we have a serious problem here, and it's called the missing link. Because he said, let's say human beings evolved from monkeys. Let's say that's the theory. Let's say you have monkeys, you have human beings, and human beings come from monkeys. You can't have that happen overnight. This would take millions of years. And even the Darwinists and the evolutionists would say it takes millions of years, maybe even billions of years, for this type of evolution to take place, for this type of process to take place. It wouldn't happen overnight that a monkey suddenly goes to sleep at night and then wakes up as a human being. That doesn't happen. Or that a monkey gives birth and all of a sudden gives birth to a human child. That for certain wouldn't happen, and nobody in their sane mind would suggest that. What would have to happen would be an evolutionary process. And that's why when you look up, if you go to an encyclopedia or you look it up online, you look up the theory of evolution, you see a whole series. You see someone starting out as very hunched as a monkey and then gradually becoming more less and less hunched and becoming more and more human-looking until they become a human being. In other words, it's a process. There is no proof, though, that that happened. Why? Because we have never found the missing links. We have never found the intermediate versions. In other words, between monkey and human being, there would have to have been many intermediate stages. There has to be. And we have never, ever been able to find any of the intermediate stages there. Never. Now, Charles Darwin says there's a reason we weren't able to find it. He wrote in 1859, because we don't have the technology to dig deep enough into the earth. If we were able to dig deep enough into the earth, we'd be able to go back in time far enough to be able to resolve the issue and to find the missing links, to find traces of the missing links. Because at that time, in 1859, they didn't have the technology to dig deep enough into the earth. Now we have the technology, and people have tried digging deeper into the earth to find it. And still, no one has ever found the missing link. No one has ever found any of the missing links. There have to be billions of missing links. There must be billions of them. And not just between monkey and human being, but between all the species. And no one has ever found it. Now, you have scientists who claim that they have discovered in the laboratory amoebas and bacteria that transform from one thing to another eventually. They claim they found it on that level, on a microscopic level. But that's not adequate proof that human beings came from monkeys or baboons or gorillas. That's not adequate proof. So the theory remains just a theory. And anyone who teaches in the universities or colleges that it is proven, there's no question that it happened, is a liar. And those are people with an agenda. They have an anti-religious agenda. They're trying to prove that religion is wrong, and because they believe that the religion teaches that this can't be, that human beings were created instantly by God, and that it can't be that human beings evolved. And so all the anti-religious people, which is in the university world, they're very anti-religious because they don't want to be tied down by commandments and by morals and by restrictions. They want to be able to do whatever they want, and they're arrogant and egotistical. And so in the university world and in the science world and among the so-called intellectuals, they're always going to be anti-religious. The majority will always be anti-religious. And so, at least in modern times. By the way, until 150 years ago, almost all the scientists believed in God. They were against religion. Galileo was against the belief of the Catholic Church that the whole world revolves around the earth, and he was tortured for it. And other scientists also were opposed to organized religion of their day. But almost all scientists until 150 years ago were believers in God. Almost all the scientists until 150 years ago believed in God. And the leading big scientists, even in the past 150 years, like Albert Einstein, were believers in God. The really great scientists that really changed history, like Einstein and Newton and Galileo, astronomers, scientists, researchers, the really great ones that changed things dramatically, the overwhelming majority of them were believers in God, and until 150 years ago, almost all of them were believers in God. That you don't learn, by the way, in the university. That you don't learn in the college. Because in the college, they're propagandizing. They have an agenda, and they lie. And they propagandize, and they lie. And they don't teach you the truth. They lie. Now, we now have the technology to dig deeper, and we've never found the missing links. What does Judaism say about the theory of evolution? Well, this is interesting because you'll have certain rabbis from the Haredi world who automatically reject it, who automatically take everything literally in the Bible, even though the great rabbinic scholars and the great and Chazal did not take the Torah literally, most of the Torah literally. They did not take the story of Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, and the Garden of Eden, and all these other. They didn't take that literally. And the snake gets up and speaks to them, and they didn't take that literally. Harambam, Sadia Gaon, the great rabbinic scholars, the really great rabbinic scholars, said that there was symbolism in those stories. But anyway, regardless, what about the theory of evolution? First of all, some of the greatest rabbinic scholars of modern times have said they believe in the theory of evolution. In fact, Harav Avraham Yitzchak Kuk Zatzal. Zatzal means may his name and memory be immortalized. Harav Kuk, who was the first chief rabbi of Israel, a great rabbinic scholar, and even though we Kahanists have difference of opinion of him on political issues, we think he took political stands that were terrible in many cases that caused some serious problems. But regardless of that, Harav Kuk was indisputably a great Torah scholar who wrote books that were absolutely brilliant, that I challenge people to read his books and try to understand what he says. You'll have a hard time understanding what he says in his books. And I'm talking about the ones translated into English. You'll have a hard time comprehending even one paragraph in his books. Very complex stuff. You're a real genius. And Harav Kuk, who is probably the spiritual mentor for religious Zionism, and the majority of rabbis in Israel today are religious Zionist rabbis, are in the religious Zionist camp, not in the Haredi camp. The Haredi camp are the non-Zionist rabbis who never really took up the cause of the land of Israel and are returning to the land of Israel and how this is a great miracle. And that was never their cause. Their cause is you got to keep Shabbat and you got to keep Kashrut and you got to keep the personal commandments. But the national commandments are not the Haredi commandment. The Haredim do not go for the nationalism and for the national commandments, which is unfortunate because all of the great leaders of the Bible, all the great leaders of Judaism were nationalists. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, David HaMelech were all nationalists who wanted to liberate the land of Israel. Anyway, the Haredim, many of the Haredi rabbis will say, you know, their answer is, oh, what, you're saying your grandfather was a monkey? You know, that's their answer. You know, childish. Some of it is childish. I'm not rejecting everything they say. There also are great Haredi rabbinic scholars. There's no question about it. And the Haredi rabbinic scholars generally do reject the concept of evolution. They reject it. But they're not the majority of rabbis in Israel. The majority of rabbis in Israel today are in the camp of Harav Kuk and religious Zionism. They believe in the state of Israel. They believe in a Jewish state and Jewish sovereignty. And they believe that it's part of the redemption of the Jewish people that we've returned and we have Jewish sovereignty in a Jewish state and that this is the redemption. That's the majority of rabbis in Israel today. And Harav Kuk is probably their greatest mentor, Harav Avraham Yitzchak Kuk. His son, Harav Tzvi Yehuda Kuk, was also a great mentor for the religious Zionist movement in Israel today. They're the majority, by the way, of the Jews in Judea and Samaria, and they're the movers and shakers in terms of the campaign to keep the land of Israel. Harav Kuk said, Harav Avraham Yitzchak Kuk, and again, he was the first chief rabbi of Israel, he said that the theory of evolution is the most fitting theory for Torah Judaism. Of all the theories that scientists have come up with over the years, the most fitting is the theory of evolution. He said that this was a very good thing for Judaism, that Darwin came up with this, even though Darwin himself was not religious and his followers are not religious. He said, doesn't matter. Hashem uses people sometimes to come up to bring certain truths to the world, and sometimes uses people who are not righteous people, who are not moral people, who are evil people sometimes. Why is this such a fitting theory? Harav Kook said it is a fitting theory because Judaism believes that we are in a world of progress, constant progress, that we're evolving and progressing to a higher and higher level, that Hashem wants to bring us to a higher level when eventually we have those of us that warrant it. And I don't know if I'm going to be part of it. I don't know. Who knows until the day of judgment? I'm not going to be arrogant enough to say that I'm going to be part of it. And I don't know how many of our viewers are going to be part of it. I hope you will be, and I hope I will be. But the world to come is a world of eternal life. And until we reach that stage, and even when we reach that stage, we're going to be going higher and higher on a spiritual plane. But Judaism is a constant process, believes in a constant process of human beings attaining that higher status, that eventually we will attain that higher status. And that is a belief of HaMaharal, HaRambam, HaRamban, Sadia Gaon. All the great rabbis said that we will reach a higher status than just the difference between the animals and human beings, because there are certain stages and levels of creation. And so Harav Kook said the concept that we progress, that the world is constantly progressing, that the world will reach higher and higher levels, and that even the animal kingdom will eventually reach a higher level and will evolve to a higher level. He said this is the perfect concept for Judaism, because this is the way Hashem created the world. This is the way the world works until the final redemption. This is the way the world does work. And even after the final redemption, there's going to be a process of constant progress. That's what Harav Kook said. And again, he's the mentor for religious Zionism, which is the majority of rabbis in Israel today. Okay? So, and he was right, by the way, when he said there's going to be a Jewish state and the Jews are returning to Israel, and this is a good thing. And the Haredi rabbis who said there's not going to be a Jewish state, this is crazy, only the Mashiach, only the Messiah can bring a Jewish state, they were wrong. They've been proven wrong. Harav Kook and the Zionist rabbis told the Jews to go to the land of Israel before the Holocaust. They were right. The Haredi rabbis told the Jews, no, stay in Europe. The Zionists are Meshugaim, are crazy. Meshiganists. They're all crazy. They were proven wrong. And the Jews who stayed in Europe, unfortunately, most of them were murdered by the German Nazis. Yimach Shemam B'Zichram. So, you know, you can take whatever view you want to take. But Harav Kook said that he does believe the theory of evolution is correct. And, you know, another example, Harav Yisrael Lipschitz, who is the author of Tiferet Yisrael and who is one of the great examples when you're studying halacha. Rav Yisrael Lipschitz, his commentaries are considered to be at the top, even for the Haredim. They also follow his commentaries. And he said that he believed in the theory of evolution. In fact, the Lubavitcher Rebbe publicly wrote about how strongly he disagreed with Harav Lipschitz on the theory of evolution, because the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Hasidim are against the theory of evolution. So, anyway, look, I respect both sides, of course, in this, and I'm a tiny little nothing compared to these giant, great rabbinic scholars, rabbinic sages, and I know that I'm not even an ant compared to these rabbinic sages in terms of their knowledge of Torah. And so I respect both sides, but I believe history has proven the Zionist rabbis were right. I think history has clearly proven that. There's no question. We've returned to Israel, the great miracles, all the things that have happened. They said this would happen, and they were proven right. And the Haredi rabbis, the non-Zionist and anti-Zionist rabbis, said it wouldn't happen and said it was crazy. They were proven wrong. Millions of Jews paid a price during the Holocaust for the fact that there were people who did not see the period of time that we live in. And by the way, HaRambam, in English Maimonides, HaRambam and other great scholars speak about how when God created Adam HaRishon, the first person, when God created the first person, how this was a process. Even that was a process. And so this, you see in the writings of Harambam, an evolutionary, a discussion of evolutionary process, even in the creation of Adam Harishon, the first human being. Adam from the Garden of Eden. Now, let me say something about what this says for our times. First of all, there's no question that that the God of Israel is the God of the universe and that Judaism is correct. That there's no question about. That there is no doubt about. There can be no doubt about that. And those who try to use evolution to try to disprove some religious theories, because they know that the Christians generally are against it, okay? Those that, and so they figure they can put down the religion by constantly mentioning evolution. In Judaism, it's a little harder, again, because a lot of rabbis do believe in evolution and do believe it's consistent with Torah teaching. But, you know, the Haredi rabbis don't. They say, you know, they give the same, your grandfather was a rabbi. You know, yeah, I mean, my grandfather was a rabbi. My grandfather studied Torah. Your grandfather was a monkey. You know, that's the usual put down for those who believe in evolution from the Haredi world, which, okay, listen, maybe they're right. Maybe there was no evolution. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, and I'm not a Torah sage. So maybe they're right. Okay. I do know that on the issue of the creation of Israel, though, that they were wrong. That I know because it's been proven by history. That we can see in plain sight that they were wrong. Okay. That there had to be a Jewish state. That there had to be Jewish sovereignty. That they were wrong to tell the Jews to stay in Europe, and that did bring about the Holocaust. Okay, and I'm not saying, and again, their intentions were not to do that. God forbid, of course, they didn't have that intention, but they were wrong. They didn't see what was coming, and they didn't see the period of time we live in. But the so-called scientists who reject God and reject all miracles and reject all spirituality, they tell you there is no spiritual world. It doesn't exist. It's only the physical world that exists. And they will tell you there's no such thing as miracles. No such thing. If there has been even one miracle, it proves they're wrong and it proves that the religious are right. Because atheists and agnostics don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe they exist. If there's even one miracle, that proves we're right and they're wrong. Now I ask you, the existence of the Jewish people, these thousands of years, this people that the whole world wanted to destroy for 2,000 years, thrown out of their homeland, the vast majority of them murdered by the Romans, and then the minority that survived the Roman massacres being scattered to the four corners of the earth and surviving and coming back to their homeland, just as it says in the Bible, and defeating armies that outnumber them 100-1, just as it said they would in the Bible. And their land, which was a desolate, horrible place, one of the most desolate places on the face of the earth. Malaria-ridden swamps on the coast and inward like a desert, even worse than a desert in some places. And now it's the lush, beautiful, magnificent land of Israel, producing the most beautiful fruits and vegetables in the world. And the greatest technology, and over 6 million Jews living there. I mean, come on. That's not a miracle, this story? That's not a miracle? When the prophet said this 2,500 years ago, if at that time someone had said, 2,500 years from now this is going to happen, who would have believed it unless they believed in God? You couldn't believe it if you didn't believe in God. It's completely irrational to think that something like this can happen. That's not a miracle. The existence of the Jewish people, the victories of the Jewish people, the victories of Israel, the triumph of biblical prophecy all coming true in our day, these are not miracles. If even one miracle happened, that means that we are not slaves only of the laws of nature. Because the atheists believe in God. Their God is nature. Their God is a God with no consciousness, with no mind, with nothing. He had no consciousness, no mind, just nature. It just happened, nature. That's their God. Our God has a mind. The fact that we have a mind proves that we were created by someone who has a mind. Because nature without a mind cannot create people with the consciousness that human beings have. I mean, it's so obvious that there has to be a creator. Aside from the fact that the fact that there's any creation at all proves that there's a creator. You can't have something from absolutely nothing. All of a sudden, something from absolutely nothing coming about. It can't be. It's impossible. There were people who said, the pagans and others who said, well, the world always existed, so there was no creation. So you don't have to worry about that issue because the world, that's also impossible. There had to be a beginning because physical things have a beginning, have an end. It's impossible. Only something that is infinite and all-powerful can have no beginning and no end. Now, God will give us the power, can give an infinite being like that, like God, can give us the power to live forever if he chooses to. He has that power. And of course, that's a promise that is made to people who will make it into the next world. But there's no question that there's a God. You have to be blind not to see that there's a God, whether you believe in evolution or don't believe in evolution. Whether you believe in Harav Kook, and whether you believe in Harav Lipschitz and other great rabbis who said that evolution is in fact something that is real, or whether you believe in the Haredi rabbis, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe and like others who said, no, it's not true. Whichever way you want to go, the fact that there's a God, the fact that there are miracles, the fact that there's a world beyond just the physical world, all of those things are true. And that there's no doubt about. And here we are, we're trying to make this a better world. Because that's really why we're in this world. We do have a higher calling. Every human being does. All of us do. You have a higher calling. You have a higher purpose in life. You have a reason why you were put into this world by the Creator. He cares about what you do. What you do does make a difference. You've got to do in your... With whatever ability you have, we all have limited abilities, but whatever limited ability you have to use it for the good of the world. That's what you're here for. Here in JTF, we're trying to do that. Over 250,000 Israeli Jews have seen our videos through our advertising campaign since the summer. Just since the summer, over 250,000 views. And you know before that we had campaigns with hundreds of thousands of views. I mean, we're trying to influence people. And how much we change people when they see one of our videos, when they see these messages that we produce for the people of Israel, how much it changes them, I don't know the answer. I can't go into people's minds. I can't read people's minds. I can tell you that, as I've said before, that people sometimes do post reactions and do post commentary when they see the video saying that they think it makes sense, or some of them attacking us, some of them don't like what we say, as could be expected, because obviously our message is controversial. Because if you don't have a controversial message, your message isn't important. If something's important, it's going to be controversial. Okay? The people that try to opt out of controversy and that are always terrified of controversy, they never have anything important to say. They only go with the unimportant things, that the consensus things that everybody goes along with. That doesn't change anything. To make this a better world, You have to be willing to be controversial. You have to be willing to be politically incorrect. You have to be willing to sometimes take attacks from people. You have to have the guts to do that if you're going to really want to make a change in the world. Over 250,000 Israeli Jews, thanks to you, thanks to those of you who are supporting us, have at least seen our message. I don't know how many of their lives have been changed or their views or how many of them have a new view of things and this is... brought them a new perspective. I don't know. I don't know if just seeing one video, how much of a difference that makes. I really don't know. But I know that we're trying and that we are obligated to do. And that's the best we can do right now with our budget. That's the best we can do. And so we're going to continue to try to reach hundreds of thousands and eventually millions of Jews in Israel. That's what we're going to try to do. And if you want to be part of that, if you want to try to make a difference to save the land of Israel, to bring sanity to Israel, to help elect Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party to the Knesset, which is what we want to also try to do. If that's what you want, if you believe our message is a message of sanity and that we have to do this, and that we have to wake people up before it's too late, then you're in the right place. And then you're answering, at least to a certain degree, you're answering your higher calling to a certain degree. Of course, we have to follow the mitzvot of the Torah, the commandments of the Torah. We have to do everything Hashem has commanded us to do. And part of that is reaching our fellow Jews and trying to make this a better world for our fellow Jews, which through JTF you can do. And so let's understand that this is not just some world with no meaning, the terrible dark world that the atheists and the non-religious and the secularists create for us. Just a dark world where you're born and you get old and you get sick and you drop dead and that's it. And you die in the grave and that's it. I mean, that's a nightmare of a world. But that's not reality. We know from the Torah, from the Bible, from biblical prophecy, from what's happened to the Jewish people, from the miracles we've seen with our own eyes, the miracles of this great people, the Jewish people. We know that that's not all there is. We know that there is something wonderful that stands behind this world that we live in, and that we're not even scratching the surface of seeing all the reality that exists in creation, because there is a spiritual world as well. Anyway, that's our message for this week, and hopefully this enlightens people to a certain degree about a subject that is often raised and that actually very few people know very much about. Everybody comments about it, but very few people actually bother to do the research or to know very much about it. And we hope to bring truth to people as much as possible. That's one of the roles that all of us, every one of us, should be playing in life. If we work together as a team, we can still make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.